Welcome to the Shipping Podcast, a multi-fandom podcast for the shipper in you. Hosted by Shirazade, your friendly mod, OTP shipper, and fandom old.
First of all, in my ongoing quest to improve the sound quality, I experimented with a weird little recording setup by piling a lot of cushions around my microphone on my dining room table. You can see a picture on the Shipping Cast Tumblr if you're interested. No idea if it helped any. But I'm pretty sure it at least didn't hurt. As I sat down and talked with August about only our third ever Femslash ship, Katra and Adora, aka Katradora from Shira. But what's a ship, you might ask? It's an abbreviation for relationship and can be used as a noun or verb. I ship Kirk/Spock, or my favorite ship is Spirk, meaning you would like to see Star Trek's Kirk and Spock as a couple, and are using one of the popular ship names, smushing their names together in a way that can be cutesy or cringy, depending on your point of view. This podcast will be zero judgment, 100% squee, as fans talk about their ships, why they ship them, and which fanworks might make you ship them too. At the end, each guest will nominate the next fan to talk about their OTP, one true pairing, i.e. the ship they love the most, creating a multi-ship, multi-fandom chain of interviews, het, i.e. straight couples, slash, meaning same-sex pairings, fictional characters, or even real people. The only limit is the imagination. Does that sound like something you might enjoy? Please give it a listen and let me know what you think. The Shipping Cast is hosted on shippingcast.fandomish.net, that's fandomish.net, where you can find show notes and subscribe on various podcasting platforms. There's also a Tumblr at ShippingCast, a Twitter at Shipping_cast, or you can email me on the shippingcast@fandomish.net, where you can also send me a recorded voice message for inclusion in a future show. I'm very open to questions and opinions about the ships we talk about or shipping in general, so please get in touch. Because I've had to start paying for pro accounts for this podcast, I set up a Patreon on patreon.com/shippingcast. In addition to the Ko-Fi and PayPal links that you can find on shippingcast.fandomish.net/support. Would you like me to record some episodes that cover more general aspects of fandom instead of being limited to ships? One of the Patreon perks is special episodes, and you can even vote on the topics. A note in advance. As mentioned before, this podcast is a judgment-free zone. My guests are here to share what they love, not to defend themselves. We ship and let ship here, and any flames, i.e. hateful messages, will be used to roast marshmallows, to use old-school fandom lingo. This expression dates me, I know. I'm actually 39 and have been writing fanfiction since I hit puberty. However, I only joined online fandom in 2001, which was also when I started writing fic in English. My native language is Swiss German, in case you're wondering, and I have the equivalent of an MA in Cultural Anthropology, Media Studies, and German Literature. These days, I work an admin job in the renewable energy sector, and I spend my free time consuming media in the form of books, movies, TV shows, and podcasts. I find fandom fascinating, not just as a creative outlet in the form of writing, vidding, and gifing, but as a cultural phenomenon. I hope I'm not the only one who loves to hear people talk about their passions, and there's few things fans are more passionate about than their ships. The ship that we focus on in each episode is clearly stated in the title, so if you think that the ship will cause you distress or anger, please skip the episode. It's also quite likely that there'll be spoilers, so in the immortal words of River Song...
Spoilers...
After last episode's unbridled shared squeefest, with Shira we're back in a fandom I know nothing about. But August gives me a great primer on what makes Katra and Adora such a wonderful pairing, and one with the definite potential to eventually become canon, which makes a nice change, especially for a lesbian couple. As always, we explore the dynamics, best moments, and favorite fanworks for the ship. But let's dive right in. Hi, August. How are you doing?
Hi. I'm good.
Yeah? Having a nice weekend?
Yeah. I mean, I've been, like, you know, enjoying my Thanksgiving leftovers because I'm in America.
Oh yes, you're in the US.
Yeah.
I keep forgetting that it's kind of a holiday for you guys.
Yeah.
Except that the thing that reminds me all the time is that AO3 keeps dying on me.
Yeah.
Apparently plenty of people have time to kill.
Yeah, everyone's avoiding their families right now.
Exactly. But yeah, thanks so much for doing this.
Yeah, of course. I appreciate you know, being nominated and everything. I think this is a really cool podcast.
Oh, I'm glad. And before we get into the fandom side, why don't you introduce yourself?
All right. So I'm August. I live in California. I'm a writer. I do things. I occasionally do fan fiction, though. I mostly do original work. And of course, I'm a gigantic nerd.
Aren't we all?
Yeah.
So you're a writer. So like, you published something?
No, but I'm working on it. There's actually a novel I'm working on right now.
Nice. Did you do NaNoWriMo?
I did. I participated in it. I did not reach the goal, but I did get pretty solidly into the beginning of my book. So, you know, that's good enough for me.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
I will never ever do NaNoWriMo. I think the longest fics that I've ever written are like 20K.
Yeah.
And I've only written like 3 of them in almost 20 years. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think the challenge for me is just writing every day, because there's always like, you know, other stuff that comes up and you're like, but what if I don't want to write today?
Yeah, I know the feeling. What with all the holiday exchange deadlines looming.
Oh gosh, yeah.
Why do I do this to myself?
Yeah.
But yeah, so you were nominated by Jen. How do you know her?
So Jen's actually been my friend for, I want to say, a year and a half now. We met each other through the Dear Evan Hansen fandom.
Oh.
She's awesome. I love her. She's so nice. She used to be in, like, my Dear Evan Hansen chat that I ran. And, you know, there's quite a few people in there, so we just met through that. We still talk, even though I'm not super active in the fandom anymore. She's great.
I think this makes it now 4 people who connected through the Dear Evan Hansen fandom.
Really? That's so cool.
Yeah, because we had the episode about Dear Evan Hansen.
You did? And Nick, oh my gosh. I'll
yeah, and
that.
then Nick, I think, was the one who recommended Evelyn, and then Jen, and now you.
Yeah, cool.
So yeah, it's nice. Because now I know Dear Evan Hansen as well, because I listened to it before when Nick said that they were going to talk about it. I actually listened to it for the first time. So
that's awesome! Like, I'm glad he introduced you, because that's such a good show. I mean, that you know, I know this isn't what we're talking about, but that musical means so much to me.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. It was a really great episode as well, I thought.
Yeah.
But that's one of the things I love most about this podcast, is that it gives me the chance to, you know, kind of widen my horizons. Get out of my own fandom bubble.
Right. That was really cool.
Like today.
Yeah, so, okay, so have you, like, do you know anything about She-Ra? Which is what I'm talking about, by the way. I'm talking about that.
No, when you told me that you were going to do Katradora, I had to freaking Google it. Well, because I was like, what is that? Luckily, when you put Katradora ship into DuckDuckGo, it tells you what it is. So I figured it out.
Yeah, I mean, it's I feel like it's definitely the biggest ship in the fandom, so I'm not surprised you find out about it pretty quickly.
Yeah, but I'm not, I don't really watch animated series, so that's why it hasn't really been on my radar.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But before we get into She-Ra and Catradora, what's your fandom background? Because I assume Dear Evan Hansen and She-Ra weren't your only fandoms.
Oh, yeah, no, definitely not. I've been in tons of fandoms, but, like, some of the biggest ones that, you know, meant a lot to me were Percy Jackson, you know, like, the books.
We've done two episodes on that one.
Really? Oh, yeah. I mean, that was, like, my whole childhood right there.
Yeah.
And then CW's The 100. I don't know, you may have heard of, like, Alexa from
that. I liked that one.
Yeah. Life is Strange, the game. It's big on that.
I keep seeing pictures of that on my Tumblr dash, and then I actually bought it and I can't freaking play it because my Mac's too old.
Oh no. Yeah, it's like such a graphically like complex game that it cannot be played on anything but like a gaming PC. It's unfortunate. But
I would have appreciated if they told me that before I spent the money.
Oh no.
But luckily it was on sale, so it wasn't that expensive. But yeah, I was kind of like, awesome, great. What's the deal? Like, yeah, exactly. Your graphics card is not good enough.
So yeah, I actually first discovered it through a playthrough, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Which like it's a choice-based game, so it's definitely good to play it yourself if you can, but playthroughs are pretty good too, so I would definitely recommend that.
Okay, yeah, because it seems to be very story based, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Any other notable fandoms?
The Raven Cycle fandom has been for a little while. I'm not super active in it now, but I'm still, you know, reading the books. That is like such an amazing book series. I would recommend that to anyone, really.
This is where I confess that I started the first one and kind of stalled halfway through.
Okay, listen, I get that because honestly, I love this series now. It's my favorite series probably ever. But when I first tried to read it, I didn't get all the way through. I had to put it down and then come back like a year later. So it can definitely be hard to get into, but once you do, there's no going back.
Okay, so I should give it another chance then.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, also because I hear that there's gay a bit later on.
Yes. Yeah, it's like definitely super slow burn, but it's worth it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because right now it's all about like it just seems like this typical thing, you know, that teenage girl is special. And
oh, I promise you, it'll break out of that typical feeling very soon.
Okay. Because I always feel a bit old for that sort of, it's just, ever since I stopped identifying with, you know, the main special chosen one, it's kind of,
yeah.
Those types of book have kind of lost a lot of their attraction.
Yeah, I get that. Like, I'm in a place right now where, you know, I just graduated high school this past summer, and it's hard for me to read books that are about high schoolers now, because it feels like, it's very young to me for whatever reason.
Yeah. And then imagine that my high school year, I had my 20-year high school graduation anniversary this summer.
Oh.
So yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah. Yeah. But I feel like the appeal of Raven Cycle specifically is less like, oh, chosen one or whatever, and more just, if you like found family or like that kind of dynamic, it's great for that.
Yeah. Oh, great. I'll definitely keep that in mind.
Yeah.
So in those fandoms, what type of fan were you? I mean, you said that you've written a bit of fanfic. Do you have like one OTP or do you multi-ship or?
I've written like very few fanfics, I should clarify. I have a few that are private, and then I have a few that are posted. But generally, within each fandom, I'll kind of pick, like, one ship that I'm really, really into, and I don't really multi-ship much. And usually, I'm not, like, super vocal in fandoms, usually, but sometimes when I get really, really into one, I'll make a side blog just for it and really get into, like, you know, writing analysis or writing the occasional fanfic or, you know, whatever, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, I have a She-Ra side blog. I used to have a Jeremy Hansen side blog. Definitely. Oh, yeah, I used to have the 100 side blog, which it never got off the ground at all, but I was just happy, like, posting gifts for myself.
Yeah, so, yeah, I've never done the side blog thing. I always, like, what's the thing? I just spam everyone with everything that I'm currently interested in.
That's my usual approach. I just kind of throw everything at my main blog, and it's like, well, if you don't want what you see, not my problem.
I tag, you can use the blacklist.
Yeah,
that's always my thing. It's like, when someone doesn't want to see the Untamed on their dash, they just have to blacklist the Untamed, because I try to be very good with tagging.
Yeah, well, people can control their experience, so, you know, I say, everyone, you know, we can do what we want.
So, yeah, so if you don't do a lot of fanfic, but you do the side blogging thing, is that mostly, like pictures, or?
My favorite thing to do is, you know, writing analysis, like writing meta, that kind of thing.
Ooh, I really, really enjoy that.
Yeah.
I always appreciate a good meta.
Oh, yeah, it's my favorite thing to read.
So, yeah, mine too, but I never write it, so I appreciate it when people take the time to do it.
Yeah, sometimes I'll read meta, I'm like, your mind, like, you are so smart.
Yep. Yeah, like with in the last episode with Jen, we talked about Stucky, and it's like, you know, that fandom is huge. So there's and there's meta about everything. So we talked about, like, this one, we both had read this one piece of meta that analyzed Bucky's apartment in Romania.
I've seen that one. Like, I'm not into that ship, but I know a lot of people who are, so.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, the attention for detail that goes into some of these meta analysis is, like, mind-blowing.
It's so impressive.
So have you done that sort of thing for today's ship fandom?
Honestly, I haven't written much public meta for Cassiodora, which, like, I feel I'm a little ashamed to say, because I definitely have thoughts on it, but I usually kind of ship post on my She-Ra blog.
Yeah, it's a completely valid life choice.
Yeah. Fun.
Exactly, and fandom should be fun.
Yeah, definitely.
So, we already discovered, I did not know that what this ship was before you mentioned it. So if you had to do, like, a very short 101 intro on She-Ra and on Cassiodora, what would you say?
Okay, well, She-Ra, it's, you know, we're talking about the new version, the 2018 one, because there is a 80s She-Ra cartoon. And it's about, like, you know, sort of like a magical princess show, you know, that kind of thing. Adora being the main character who's able to transform into the all-powerful She-Ra. She's around, I want to say 18, both characters are. She's, like, definitely the hero of the show, whereas Catra is kind of the main villain. She's on the side of the Horde, which is, you know, they're the bad guys, you know, they sound bad. Adora fights on the side of the Rebellion, which is against the Horde. So, yeah.
So is it like a classic fantasy setting, or?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and, like, she's named appropriately because she's basically, like, a cat person.
And so they're, like, nemesis, or how are they related?
So they actually, it's interesting because they grow up together in the Horde, right? It's you know, it's like a rough childhood because they're these bad guys that are raising them, but they sort of you know, they become best friends and they look out for each other. And, you know, like, you know, even amongst all this terrible stuff that'll happen to them, they're each other's kind of light, you know, and, but things happen and Dora realizes like, oh, the Horde, you know, they're doing bad things, you know, like they're doing bad things to other people. Like they're not the good guys. Cause you know, they were kind of brainwashed into thinking the Horde were the good guys. So Dora ends up defecting to the rebellion side and she's like, Catra, come with me. Like, you know, this is, we can't stay here. And Catra is really, she tends to be set in her way. So she says, no, you know, she stays with the Horde. It's this big dramatic, some people like to call it a breakup. And, you know, so now they're really divided. I mean, they're fighting on opposite sides of the war and that's sort of set up with the entire show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how did you stumble upon it?
The show writer, Noelle Stevenson, smacked me with it.
Noelle Stevenson? Why do I know that name?
Because she's like the writer of the show, so I feel like people talk about her a lot.
Has she done some other comic or something?
Oh, yes, yeah, she's done. I want to say it's
is
called.
Is she the
like,
one with Lumberjanes? Is she the one with that? Lumberjanes or.
Something? Oh, yes. Yeah, I think so.
Because I'm. I just have to look at that up because I think it's Lumberjanes, right?
Yeah.
That which is really cool. Yeah, I read like a couple of issues of Lumberjanes. I really liked it. But that's how I know the name. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she smacked her in the face with it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kidding. It's obviously like I sort of, you know, I found out it was a thing on the internet. But like, honestly, it's so like, it's the biggest dynamic in the show. It's hard not to ship it, in my opinion.
So why did you start shipping it? I mean, like, was there like a specific moment or
I mean, they have so much chemistry. Like anytime they're on the screen together, I feel like, and obviously I'm biased, but the way they interact, like, it's just, there's so much there. There's so much potential. And, you know, we sometimes get flashbacks to when they were young and they weren't fighting. And you can just see, like, they're so comfortable with each other. And it's just, it's really refreshing to see, honestly. And, of course, like, there's this super famous moment in season one where they're, like, dancing together, you know? And it's, like,
ooh.
Very gay feeling.
Yeah, but that's not gay at all.
No, they're just friends. Yeah, right.
So the subtext is strong with them.
Yeah. Definitely. And like, the thing is, yeah, like, Noelle Stevenson has written other things, and those things have been explicitly queer. Like, she's a gay woman herself, so we're all pretty hopeful, you know, that this is going to be, we're not making this up, you know?
Yeah. So that would, of course, be awesome.
Yeah, and actually, the season 4 just came out, and so now... The next one, I think, will be the last one. So we're all, you know, we're hoping. We're like, all right, it's time. there's so
hopefully,
much.
Yeah, and hopefully it won't be, like, if they become canon, hopefully it won't be just, you know, like in Legend of Korra, like the very last scene or something.
I actually made a post about that the other day. I was like, you know, I really am trusting Noelle, and I hope that she can kind of get past the dumb TV like restrictions and actually give us a real moment to go off of, and not something cheesy like, oh, they walked off into the sunset together. Because let's face it, it's almost 2020. We really, like, we can do better than that at this point. We should be able to do better than this. Yeah. You know, like,
I mean, Legend of Korra, that was awesome at the time, but you know, there should be progress made.
Definitely. And the thing is, like, I feel like we've already made a lot of progress with She-Ra. I mean, you know, there's there is a canon gay couple, like, sort of in the background, but they're there.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's two women. And then there's also, like, one of the characters' parents are two gay dads. We also got, in the newest season, we got a non-binary character, which is incredible. Like, that was so cool to see. So we know, you know, we know that the people who work on this show are really trying to push for diversity. And I think, you know, I know, I mean, Noelle has said it multiple times herself, Cachadora is the most important relationship in the show. And, you know, if it ends up being romantic, like, I think that would just make sense. You know what I mean?
So does it, so is, like, canon going towards a reconciliation or?
Oh, yeah. So obviously, like, you know, they're on opposite sides of a war right now, which you think would make it complicated. And it does. But it's, you know, we've had a lot happen since that dramatic, you know, sort of breakup from the beginning of the show. And both characters have grown so much from their experiences. And I think, like, you know, we're kind of rocketing towards a place where maybe they could be together again. And, you know, it's not going to be easy. Like, this show, it is like a cartoon, but it also gets really intense. And, like, both of the characters have gone through really, really huge changes in, like, such important ways. And, like, I think, I mean, they hardly interacted this last season, but when they meet up again next season, it's going to be a big deal. And, like, you know, even though they're fighting on opposite sides, they usually, they're almost always, like, clashing with each other, you know what I mean? Like, they, their lives still revolve around one another, despite everything that's kind of in the way. And it's, I mean, for Catra, I think she thinks she hates Adora, you know, like, that's, it's not true. It's a lot more complicated than that. She is, you know, she has a lot of anger about her leaving her behind. And Adora, you know, for a while she kept trying to save Catra. She kept trying to you know, like, come to the rebellion with me. Like, please, I don't want to fight you. And eventually, you know, she had to give up because it wasn't happening. And Adora was, like, putting too much effort into that and putting herself in danger. And it really got to sort of a breaking point where both of them had to distance from each other and sort of grow on their own before they could come together again.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I guess with one season to go, things are bound to come to a head soonish. I quite like it when they have a specific arc, you know, like, and it's, so they have a story to tell, and then it's not like, you know, it doesn't end either on a cliffhanger of the show, you know, because it's cancelled.
Yeah.
Or it just keeps dragging on.
No, definitely. This is, like, She-Ra, I think She-Ra's greatest, like, asset is the fact that it focuses, I mean, it's really, really character-driven, you know, like, all the characters have so much to contribute, and the arc and the plot, like, they all revolve around the characters, you know, which makes it super satisfying to see them grow, because, I mean, if I go back now and watch season one, they're all clearly so different, and that's, like, that is such a satisfying thing, you know? I mean, whether it's different in a bad way or in a good way, it's still development, which makes the show very dynamic.
Yeah, I think I always get hooked on shows because of the characters. It's like,
yeah, definitely, me too.
Yeah. I mean, plot is good, but it's the characters that really.
Yeah, if there's no lovable characters, like, what are you even reading for? You know, like, they're the lifeblood of the story, I think.
Do you have, like, favorite canon moments?
Oh my gosh, yes. yeah, so, like I mentioned, there is this one episode in the first season where they're dancing at a ball, which is as iconic sounding as it is. Such a cool moment. Like, that's, the entire fandom freaked out about that moment. Like, it's hard for a favorite if you're a Cachadora shipper. And then there's another moment that's definitely different from that. It's in season three. Basically, it's where Adora stands up to Catra and says, like, you can't you can't keep blaming me for the bad things that happen in your life. Because Catra is really mm-hmm. self-destructive. And she, you know, in her attempts to gain power or forward her motive, she pushes the people who care about her away. And yeah. she blames Adora for the bad things that happened to her. And basically, you know, Adora is standing up and saying, you know what, no, I'm not taking that anymore. Like, you have to take responsibility for your actions. And that's mm-hmm. like, it's such a satisfying thing to watch for me, because I specifically relate to Adora, and standing up like that is really difficult, but it's also satisfying because it's such an important part, like, of them, you know, it's an important piece in them being able to get back together in the future, because, you know, that has to be something they acknowledge and move forward with, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not, like, romantic or anything like that, but I just think... It's really, it made me gasp, like, when it happened, uh-huh. you know what I mean? It was very, I guess, heartfelt and intense.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, that sounds really amazing. So that's in season 3?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And you said that in season 4 they don't interact very much?
Yeah, there is a few times, but I mean, in comparison, they interact like almost every episode usually, whereas mm-hmm. in this season, because of various events, they were largely separated, which is kind of frustrating for me as the shipper, but there was so much going on this season, like, you know, to make up for it, so mm-hmm. it's all right.
So what's the Catradora fandom like?
I mean, like I said, it's definitely the biggest ship in the show, as far as I can tell. Mm-hmm. Which means we have tons of, you know, people in it. We have tons of, like, content, which is awesome.
Yeah.
It definitely can get intense sometimes, like, our discussions, which, you know, that kind mm-hmm. of lines up with the tone of the show and the ship. Because, yeah. you know, it's like, these two characters, they were, like, abused growing up, and, you know, they have all this conflict in between them, like... Those kinds of discussions, you know, they're deep, they're really interesting to read, but they can also be hard because, you know, like, yeah. some people are saying, like, I relate to this character because I was abused, and that's, like, it's, like, wow, like, that's a really mm-hmm. well-written character then.
Yeah.
But, you know, on the flip side, we also love to, like, you know, make fun of them and just talk about how uselessly gay they are. it's a fun time, I think. Like, we can both be serious and joke around, and I enjoy that in a fandom, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Which is to say, like, there's lots of meta and there's lots of fan wow. art, which, you know, yeah. that's my favorite thing right there.
So is it mostly on Tumblr or AO3 or...?
I'm active on both Tumblr and Twitter. It's definitely present mm-hmm. in both places. I think there's a stronger base on Tumblr, mm-hmm. but that just maybe because Tumblr is more organized with, like, fandom tags and such. But
yeah,
and there's definitely, I know there's a lot of fanfic out there. I just don't personally read a lot.
Okay.
Yeah, but I'm sure. Oh, I mean, I'm to, sure it's present.
That's on going A3. To make the rec corner interesting.
Yeah.
I hope I didn't put, like, too much pressure on you there.
No, yeah, I came up with stuff.
Good. So, how does the fandom influence you? Like, you already said that you haven't written meta, but I assume you have, like, opinions and.
Yeah. Well, definitely. Like. There's some really, really cool, like, headcanons and ideas that I would have mm-hmm. never thought of just because, you know, mm-hmm. they aren't my experiences. But, like, you know, everyone pretty much agrees, like, oh, Adora has anxiety, which she does. And it's really cool mm-hmm. to see that in a character because you don't get to see that often in a way that isn't, like, oh, you know, it's framed as a joke or whatever. And But then, like, I saw recently, like, someone writing, you know, they're autistic and they're writing about why they thought Adora was autistic. And it's like, whoa, that's so cool. Like, oh. I've never thought about these mm-hmm. things that way. But they had really good yeah. evidence. So I really like that headcanon now. Mm-hmm. And then I think, like, seeing, you know, again, like, seeing people talk about the abuse they went through and how that's really realistic, how it's being depicted. Like, that's such valuable information. Like, I can't relate to that experience, but it's so interesting seeing people talk about, like, why, you know, these characters act this way, because especially with Katra, you know, she's a messy character, which is a great thing, but some people will get kind of like, oh, Katra's a bad person, and she does bad things, but as people will explain, there's reasoning behind those bad things that, you know, a lot of people can't necessarily understand because they weren't also abused, you know? I think that's a valuable perspective.
Mm-hmm, definitely. Definitely. And representation is so important. It's just really
cool. Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. And that's why, like, She-Ra in general is just such a great show, because there are, like, there is so much representation, both, you know, in, like, with gay characters and, and, like, narratives that you don't often get to see, and especially, like, you know, complex woman characters, like, that's, you just don't get that. We don't get that enough. And She-Ra really kind of steps up to the plate and does so really well.
So, is there anything else that you'd like to share about the ship, this fandom? People should know.
I just think, like, it's, you know, like I was saying, there are these two really complex women, and they have this really complex relationship, you know, with, you know, the way they grew up and what's happening now, being on opposite sides of the war. Like, I think if someone is looking for, you know, queer content written by a queer woman, like, they should definitely check out She-Ra. And, you know, even if Crash Adora doesn't end up being your thing, there's lots of other ships that are really popular, definitely have some basing in the show, I think. And it's just such a refreshing show, you know, like, I mean, there, and then there's also just kind of really funny moments for, you know, for gay people, where, like, there's literally an episode where they fight off the bad guys with the giant sparkling rainbow, like, pretty obviously, like, not a straight show. So if you're in need of that kind of content, I definitely recommend She-Ra.
And it's, and pretty, like, cool that it's a fandom where like, a lesbian couple is, like, the main one, the big one.
Right, because that just doesn't happen often. It's so nice.
Definitely.
Yeah, and, like, you know, again, like I said earlier, I personally really relate to Adora in a way that I can't, you know, I don't see a lot of characters like her, where she's, you know, she's a strong person, you know, she's very, like, capable in some ways, and but she also does deal with anxiety, and, like, and she can be, like, scatterbrained, and just all these, you know, these other traits that, you know, they're relatable. Like, she's allowed to be flawed, and in the same way with Katra, like, she has different flaws, obviously, but they're also, you know, they're ones that aren't depicted often, and they're depicted really well. And then, of course, like, the way they bounce off each other with those flaws, like, that is, I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah, sounds absolutely interesting. I might have to check it out, despite it being animated.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Oh, boy. My to-watch list is insane. And somehow I keep rewatching the stuff that I already know and love.
Oh my gosh, I'm the same way. People will tell me to watch things, and I'll be like, yeah, sure, okay. I never do. Even if I want to, I don't, like, watch a lot of shows. So, I don't know, it's just tough to get around to that.
Yeah, especially now when I have, like, lots of shows with subtitles, so you know, which means that I can't really do anything else while watching them.
Yeah.
Because, you know, because usually I do, like, I have Tumblr open or whatever.
Yeah.
But I can't really do that when I have to read the subtitles.
Yeah.
I don't know, should we move to the recommendations then?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, did you find some?
Yeah, so, okay. So I said, like, in terms of fanfic, right, I don't read a lot, but that's mostly because I'm a picky snob about it.
Okay, so the stuff that you're going to recommend is going to be good, then.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
Yeah, so there's this one called Upper West Side, and it's, like, you know, it's a modern AU. And Catcher and Adora, they're, like, you know, they're, like, adults. I think they're kind of maybe in their early 20s, or they're, like, college age, you know? And it can be, like, fun and lighthearted sometimes, and it's obviously, like, a slow burn, but it's also, it definitely deals with the deep stuff as well, which is, you know, personally what I like, because, you know, there's deep stuff. Like, I don't necessarily want to ignore that. And it's a long fic, so it definitely takes the time to kind of hash that stuff out, because, you know, I think some people in the fandom think, oh, you know, Catch Door shippers, they just want to redeem Catra so that they can get together. And that's, you know, that's not really true. Like, we want Catra to grow and learn, and, like, you know, we want that for both of them. And so for me, like, there's no point in just reading a fic where they get together immediately. Like, I want to see them hash out their differences, and that's what Upper West Side does. And I think, like, their characters are really, she writes them really in character, and it's a nice little fic. Like, it definitely has funny moments as well, and like, cute moments where they're finally, like, getting together and dating. Finally. This is on the other side.
Yeah, I mean, I'm always so impressed by, you know, people that put up these, like, novel length epic figs out.
Oh my gosh, I know. I can never do that.
Yeah, but it's so wonderful if you can just, you know, kind of go into that world and, yeah, be swept away.
Yeah, definitely. That's a good way of putting it. And, like, for me, another reason I don't tend to read a lot of fics is I don't like to wait for updates. I like to read them, like, in one or two sittings.
Yeah. The completed works only filter is your friend.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, some of these authors, man, they love their cliffhangers. I can't do that.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. That sometimes they, and then I don't know, then real life interferes and there's no updates.
Oh, yeah. That's the worst.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm guilty of that as well, but, you know.
Yeah, I get it. I've done it too. But, like, I'll be reading a fic and I'll be like, oh, this is so good. I can't wait to see how it ends. And then I get to the last chapter and they're like, yeah, I'm not updating anymore. I'm like, no!
Exactly. Exactly. So, any other fic?
Okay, so I haven't read them yet, but there's this one author that I keep meaning to read. I forgot their name. Damn. But on Twitter, I can find out what their username is. But, like, it's like in canon sort of thing. Well, not canon, but, you know, like, in the same universe rather than modern day. Which I need to read something like that. I don't usually I tend to read AUs, but there's so much to work with in canon that I feel like
I'm
missing out, you know. Oh yeah, okay. So the person's name is Cafe Cryptid on Twitter, and she writes a lot of really cool, like, meta in general, so I think her writing probably has potential too.
Cafe Cryptid.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, Twitter. Oh, and then the author of Upper West Side, her Tumblr is Princess of Gay Skull. Great. I love her blog, like, in general. Her content, I think she's really cool, and she has a lot of cool stuff to say, you know, like, valuable stuff. but yeah, that's kind of it. Like I said, I don't read a lot of it.
You mentioned that there's also lots of art.
Oh my gosh, yes. There's so much, like, there are so many amazing fan artists in this fandom. Mm-hmm. Like, I love it. You know, like, I draw, but I don't draw people. So I'm just like, thank you all for your service. Yeah, like, there's Like trying to pick a few of my favorite pieces was so hard, but you know, some of my favorite artists are like Case, you know, Art of Case. She's she's on Tumblr and Twitter. She does like tons and tons of content. Like even Akasha thing, she does a lot of other ships too. Like and they just have such a nice like cute style. And then there's Fuji Fingers on Tumblr. They draw like a lot of ship posts, but also like they have a really cool style that I like a lot. Fernell on Tumblr and Twitter, she has like a really aesthetically pleasing style, and she does mostly Cachadora, which I love. Like, she's done some awesome outfits for them that I'm like, oh my gosh, these were canon. yeah. I mean, there's so many more, but that's just a few of my favorites.
Yeah. Sorry. Just have to take a quick sip of tea. Yeah. Do you also have, like, maybe, I don't know, vids or GIFs that you want to rec?
Oh, yes. Okay. So, another thing this fandom has a lot of is really, really cool, like, editors, you know? Which is, I don't know anything about editing videos, so I'm like, props to you guys. There's this really awesome one called Everybody Wants to Rule the World. And like it made me feel things. Like I'm like, I didn't know I could feel these emotions, but I do now.
Oh, and I want to rule the world. That song brings back memories.
Oh yeah.
Because I assume it's set to that song.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, such good edit. And then gift sets. There's so many good ones. But there's one. It's just about Adora, actually, which is why I didn't like link it. But it has the quote like, which brings us back to the hero's shoulders and the gentleness that comes. Not from the absence of violence, but despite the abundance of it. There's a gift set to that for Adora, and it's like, ah, oh, so good for her. Like she's this tough warrior and hero, but she's also, you know, she's just she has like a lot of love to give and gentleness about her. And Catcher needs that. They need to get back together.
Yeah. So that's quite a lot of stuff for people to check out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is your assignment, everyone.
Yeah. And I don't know, anything else?
Oh, there's another gift set that I really like, which is actually about Cachadora. quote is, I burned so long and so quiet. Right. You must have wondered.
Yep. Wondered. Yeah.
I loved you back.
I did. I do.
Like, oh!
Yeah, I've gifted that one as well.
Like, in a nutshell. Because, like, they're so affectionate with each other, but they don't really say outright. I mean, I don't know. I don't think they've ever told each other just how much they love each other, or they've forgotten everything that's happened. But, gosh. I'm filled with emotion.
Yeah. Yeah, so you have to make sure that I have all the links.
Yeah,
for definitely. The show notes. Great. Yeah, and if people want to find you online, where can they do this?
Oh, okay. So, my Tumblr is Dauntless Dragon, and Dragon spelled D R. hold on. D-R-A-G-A. YN, so like, you know, dragon and gay, and there's like a dash between that, so that's like generally what my username is, like everywhere, like some variation of that, like that's my AO3, and then like my Twitter is just DD, and then, you know, dragon, because you know, it's too long for Twitter. But yeah, like Twitter and Tumblr is like the most active.
And did you also have a She-Ra side blog?
Oh, yeah. My She-Ra side blog is Adora's-Sword. which is, you know, it's just Shira stuff. So if you don't want to follow my crazy mane with everything on it, you can definitely check that out. I'm pretty active on there too. So yeah.
Cool. So, yeah. So yeah, thank you so much for joining me today.
I really enjoyed this.
Yeah, and for telling me all about this really cool ship.
Yeah. I mean, having the opportunity to just talk about Cachadora, like, hell yeah.
Yeah, it's always so much fun when you can just when you have like willing ears to listen.
Yeah.
Which,
yeah.
I'm always happy to. Great. So yeah. Again, thank you. And
thank you.
I hope you have a good rest of the weekend.
You too.
Good. Bye.
Bye.
I took a trip on a great big ship to a land across the sea. To a land across the sea, the sea, the sea, the sea, the sea.
This wraps up the 23rd episode of the Shipping Podcast. As always, you can find the links we mentioned in the show notes on shippingcast.fandomish.net, that's fandomish.net. With Christmas, Hanukkah, the solstice, and many other holidays just around the corner, for which I wish all of you every happiness, this is the last episode of 2019. The next one is right around the corner, though. On January 3rd, we'll start the new year with Thea Bia and Marisha from Miraculous Ladybug, i.e. the headship of Marinette Dupin-Cheng and Chat Noir. As always, the episode will be released earlier for Patreon supporters. I'm also planning the next special episode, so keep your ears open for a roundtable Patreon episode about rare pair shipping with some of my previous interview partners. You can follow and get in touch on Tumblr as ShippingCast, on Twitter as Shipping_cast, and you can email me on theshippingcast@fandomish.net. I'd love to hear from you. Let me know what you think of the podcast and the ships we've been covering. You can find the podcast on all major and some minor podcasting platforms. A full list can be found on shippingcast.fandomish.net/subscribe. As mentioned before, if you want to get the next episode the moment I finish it, at least one day early, you can become a patron on patreon.com/shippingcast. This also has some other nice rewards, like extra episodes on other fandom topics, and that way you can help me pay for the necessary pro accounts for the podcast. Also, I'm hoping to one day be able to afford transcripts to make the podcast more accessible. There's also the option to send me a one-time donation on ko-fi.com/shirazade or via PayPal to webmistress@shirazade.net. All these options are also described on shippingcast.fandomish.net/support. And you can help me totally for free by leaving reviews or simply spreading the word to other fans. I'm Shirazade, spelled Shirasade, and you can find me as such on Tumblr, AO3, YouTube, Pillowfort, Dreamwidth, and on shirazade.net, although I'm not active on all of them. I've also joined Mastodon, as shirazade@fandom.inc with a K. Podcast artwork was created by the wonderful Little Zion. The music is Sailor Song by the Peerless Quartet. Thanks so much for listening, and remember, you are the captain of your ship.